This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, I mean, it depends what kind of changes are available to us. We're going to continue to turn over every stone with our defense and with every other part of our team, too, to get as good as we can get during the course of a long season. It's a lot of things we can improve on, do whatever we can do. Marcus is a heck of a player. I have the utmost confidence in him as a player, as a person, as a pro. Plays hard, practices hard, and I anticipate him playing great football for us all season and very soon. A lot of things going on, and a lot of it's kind of our business. You know, it kind of belongs in-house. It's between us, and it's not something that we need to tell everybody everything about. I don't think you're telling everybody about your family business. I never get up here and talk about why we put guys up or put guys down. You know, I never have, so probably not going to start doing that now.
Ravens still recovering from that 29-24 loss to Cleveland on Sunday. You just heard from John Harbaugh, who spoke to the media yesterday. Couple of things to address, Vinny. Let's go right to the top, to the Marcus Williams stuff, who was active on Sunday, but seemed inactive. I didn't see him with a helmet on at any point. I saw reporters saying he didn't have a helmet with him. He didn't get on the field. And that was a surprise to a lot of us. John Harbaugh, of course, asked about it after the game, called it a personnel decision, said that they were handling it internally. And then yesterday he's asked about it some more. And you heard his responses there, getting a little perturbed about the questions about Marcus Williams. How do you take this, and do you think we'll see him this week?
He got perturbed because it's uncomfortable talking about it. And he knows what went on, and he can't share what went on. Now, it had nothing to do with, and we talked about it off air. I think what you were saying is probably right, Cordell, which was Marcus Williams went off either on Zach Orr, secondary coach, you know, and then probably Harbs got involved, and they probably benched him for his conduct. You know, I'm guessing if he got into it with Zach Orr, he was doing all the talking and yelling. So, and then Harbs probably had to get involved too. So I'm guessing it is a discipline. But, you know, the thing about it is, I mean, we talk about it every week. Where is he? Why isn't he involved? So there's something going on, Cordell, because he acts like he doesn't want to be there. And maybe he went in and I don't know, he probably hollered and yelled, hey, if that's how you're going to eat, trade me. I'm guarantee you that probably came out somehow, some way.
Sounds like speaking from experience. Knowing how those conversations go. Look, I mean, when the defense on that side of the ball is playing the way that they have, there's going to be testy conversations, right? If you're really trying to figure this thing out, somebody's going to have to take accountability, and people are going to have to be told some things they don't want to hear, and you're going to have to prepare yourself for a response that you necessarily don't want. If it's a situation where Marcus Williams was indeed benched because of a verbal dispute with one of the coaches or something like that, I have no problem with that. I honestly don't. If that's what you can't have players getting into it with coaches, and this is pure speculation, by the way,
right?
Pure speculation. But if that's the case, I have no problem with John Harbaugh doing what he did. My issue is kind of just, all right, sure, he doesn't have to tell us what's going on. He's absolutely right about that. But let's not sit here and make it seem like it's nothing to see here when one of your highest paid players is out of the blue not playing in the game on Sunday. His replacement is kind of getting beat up, but at least he's in the frame. At least he's tackling guys.
Make 10 tackles.
There. You know, at least he's there to have the ball hit him in the net.
Right.
You'd like him to catch it, but at least he's there. But my issue is, you can't equate oh, us not putting our family business out there to you and your football organization that people are paying a lot of money to go to these games and see these guys. This is one of the highest paid players on your team. I just don't think that kind of correlates, but I can understand him not wanting to speak to what's happening internally with Marcus Williams. Like, now, I'm sure it's testy, and the trade deadline being right around the corner doesn't help.
Yeah, week from today.
Yeah,
week from today. Yeah, because the thing is, Cordell, is by probably saying what happened, it's going to embarrass. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it's going to embarrass Marcus Williams or Zach it or won't,
either
somebody.
Either way, somebody's going to look bad.
Right. And what good? Then you got to pick sides.
Right.
And what good does that do? You know, just like a family dispute. You don't want to put your family business out there. Mm-hmm. And I got no problem with what Harbs is doing. None whatsoever. Now, we'll see what happens this week, you know, if he's back. But, you know, here's what I don't get. All right, the way they played Eddie Jackson, or the way Eddie Jackson played safety compared to the way that Marcus Williams is playing, right, is two different things.
Right.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, Marcus Williams starts 17 yards back and goes back. You know, where Eddie Jackson's like at 12 and he's coming up making plays. And like you said, you know, I mean, he dropped two picks, but would Marcus probably catches him, but would he have been there?
He's showing up two steps late.
Right, right. And that's what, Cordell, I said this. I told Haney, you know what I want to see with Marcus Williams, or I might have told Norm, what I want to see with Mark, I said, it's going to be chilly out in Cleveland. I said, if he's playing the way he's playing, he doesn't even need to shower, you know, because he doesn't ever break a sweat.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's how he plays. And I mean, I've been on him every week during the game. I'm like, because I was watching him, like, I text Haney, I said, Bob, you seen Marcus Williams? You know, because I'm watching him, like, maybe he's out of the screen. I can't see him. And I'm like, oh, I see 39. You know, I don't ever see 32. Where is he? And then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I saw Jeff Zryback, who's out there. I saw his tweet about Marcus Williams on the sideline. And at that time, he didn't have a helmet with him. And even with Eddie Jackson, I mean, look, obviously, there's a lot to nitpick with the day Eddie Jackson had. But he's on, what, how many tackles did he have? 10?
Yeah.
10 tackles on the day. The pass defense, which should have been a pick. I thought he had horrible technique on the game-winning touchdown pass to Cedric Tillman. I mean, he doesn't even move his feet until Cedric Tillman is shoulder-to-shoulder with him. By that point, he's beat. I didn't think he played great, but the fact that he was there, the fact that he actually was a part of the game, it's like, all right, what has Marcus Williams been doing this whole time? And I think Marcus Williams, I think it's safe to say, has better ball skills than Eddie Jackson. So, of course, my mind is clicking like, all right, if Marcus Williams is in those spots that Eddie Jackson was in, does he make that pick in the end zone? Does he cover a little bit better on Cedric Tillman in that man coverage?
How about the center coverage? Field play? Cordell, let me just say this. If Eddie Jackson catches those two,
he's having a great day. Easily starting.
He's got 10 tackles and 2 picks.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We haven't. Marcus Williams has 2 pass defense the whole season. So, you know, that's the thing. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, with the dropped interceptions. Now, Cordell, how are you with Roquan and Hamilton leaving right after the game and not talking to the media?
It's always disappointing. You know, it's you like your leaders to be there for that. I mean, Brandon Stevens is the guy at the podium, and look, I don't know. I respect those guys a lot. I've talked very highly of both of those guys, so that doesn't change with that. But I understand it's emotions, and you know, guys are frustrated after a loss like that in the division. I totally get it. But yeah, of course, you'd like to see your leader stick around and kind of speak on behalf of their side of the
especially
ball.
Especially when they do it every week.
Yeah. I mean, and Kyle Hamilton had the game in his hands.
Yes.
Probably like 3 times on the same play.
Yes.
You know, and it's, I mean, I'm sitting at home watching that play, and I'm just beside myself. I'm at a loss of words. I don't even know what to say at that point. And I know Kyle Hamilton and how much of a stickler he is for making plays and how hard he is on himself. I just know he was probably beside himself in that moment.
No, I agree with that. Now, Cordell, when I texted Haney when the Ravens scored to go up, I said, no shot the defense stops him.
No.
None.
No.
I mean, that's the kind of faith that I had in the defense. None.
And that's what's warranted right now. And this brings us to the other part in the open of Harb's, you know, kind of being asked about more changes on the defensive side of the ball. Dean Pease has been brought in. Marcus Williams, you know, obviously didn't play this week. I don't know if that's a long-term change on the defensive side of the ball. We'll see. They did get Millett back. But he was a shell of himself. No Marlin and those guys. I
thought they would use Millett more to blitz.
I thought so too.
And he was not involved at all.
Yeah.
And Cordell, when I'm watching the game, and the corners are playing soft and everybody's playing, and I'm saying to myself, oh no, Dean Pease's defense. This is what it was. This is what drove him out of here was, you know, non-aggressive, salt, you know, backpedal, you know, and that's, I don't know, you know, but that's the first thing that came to my mind. That's Dean Pease's defense. Now that info, I wish they would have got Chuck Pagano or somebody or, you know, I mean, like Rex, but Rex wouldn't ever come.
Right.
You know, but somebody with a little more aggressiveness.
Well, the kind of telltale sign is when you're seeing Brandon Stevens trail receivers and he's a press coverage guy.
Period.
Yeah.
Period.
And that was not
where
the
he
case.
Can be aggressive, get your hands on people and stuff. And he's not put, I mean, that outcut that they ran, I mean, Cordell, he just ran down the side, you know, and then just went over, tapped him on the head. Okay. You know, and so did Armour Davis. All right, you want to catch a hitch? No problem. Boom. And then how about on the one when they run the outcut over there, number 8 to the flat, 3rd and 8. Oh, you need 8? I'm going back to 10, so go ahead.
Audarius just gives it to him.
Yeah.
He just gave it to him.
I mean, come on. Be aggressive. You know, you got to know where the sticks are. It's 3rd and 7 on that last drive. You know, it's a critical. You're going to put them in 4th and 7, and you give me a gimme first down. I mean, I just didn't like the intensity. Now, I did love the intensity of the Browns defense.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they had 8 in the box. They were flying around. The Ravens were like, whoa, you know, with their intensity and tenacity. They were playing like the Ravens normally play.
I mean, people were hitting over there.
Oh, boy.
Derrick Henry got popped.
Yes, he did. Delphin hit him.
Got stuck.
And the receivers couldn't get open.
No.
You know what I mean? And you hear people talk about the old line and stuff. They say Filele played bad. I've watched 3 quarters. You know, he got beat on the twist one time with Zadarius, but then he picked it up another time. I didn't think he was that bad. You know, the problem was the receivers weren't getting open. That was the biggest problem. And, you know, when you're playing against man coverage, and I played receiver and I've coached receivers, sharp breaks create separation. You can't, against man coverage, you can't round into things because you're not creating any separation. And that's what they were doing. They were rounding into their cuts. You know, that first slant route, Bate ran a good route. You know, he put his foot in the ground and bam. You know, but Aguilar, you know, he was, and then they weren't running. I didn't like their route running. The offense, you know, like they've been playing like at an A level. To me, the offense probably overall, that was probably like a C+. You know, I mean, they had spurts, but they didn't, they couldn't run the, you know, I mean, they had trouble running, but they were outnumbered every time when they were running the football. Right. That's why when people say, well, you didn't hand, well, I mean, we handed to them. We're blocking with 7 and they got 9.
Yeah, a couple of chunk runs for Derrick Henry. He had a longer 39 on the day, but outside of the chunk runs that he got, and it weren't many, wasn't really a great day on the ground for the Ravens. I thought it was a total team loss in all 3 phases take into account Tucker's missed field goal as well. 410-583-1057 is the number if you want to get in. We'll start to take some of your calls and start to address some of these miscommunication issues that continue to happen for the Ravens on the defensive side of the ball. That's next here on The Fan.